Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for your word. We thank you how it cuts through and impacts us and affects us. And we pray that your word will continue to guide us and bless us and give us direction for the week ahead. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When you folks, first of all, it was good to see the video, and it was good to see all these folks who were in the video, and there were other folks in the video. How did you feel when you were watching the video? You plead the fifth. How did you feel? How, any of you who are in the video? Were you embarrassed? Were you happy? How did you feel, Wiley? You were embarrassed. Why was that? What you were doing was what? Because what you were doing in the corner, yeah, didn't you feel you did a good job? Huh? How about you folks, how did you feel? Angelica, how did you feel? You had a bunion on your foot, and so that made you kind of self-conscious? Okay, oh, thank you for sharing, okay. How about any of you, how did you all feel? Okay, those are how the actors felt. Now, how about you in the congregation? When you're watching that video, how did you feel? This is your chance to share. Joyful, okay. How did you feel? This was done 5 years ago, right? 4 years ago? Three, okay. Some of you have changed quite a bit since then. How did you feel watching that video? How young they were, uh-huh. And now they look old, uh-huh. Okay. Thank you, Victor. How else did you feel watching that video? You can share. We're in a safe place. You know what I felt? I saw chaos. I saw kind of wild kind of energy going around. What I felt, to be honest, what I felt was kind of uncomfortable. How many of you felt uncomfortable watching it? Not too many of you, some of you. Nobody wants to be honest in here, huh? How many of you felt irritated? Nobody. Well, good, you have open mind. I imagine that what that video showed us was maybe what happened, partly the feelings of what people were experiencing that day when Jesus rode down. People were jumping, people were yelling, people were celebrating. People who were healed, they were reacting with extreme joy and extreme emotion, and they were praising Jesus. And for someone maybe who was kind of separated and you saw that celebration and chaos and emotion, maybe like the two Roman guys, they might have been irritated. Or maybe like the Pharisees who said, tell them to stop. Tell them to shut up. Why? Because they were irritated and they were annoyed and it was bothering people. Don't you think that that might have been happening? And then Jesus said what? What did Jesus do? He said, if they are to be silent, then the stones will cry out. Jesus let them celebrate. Jesus let them cut branches. Jesus let them shout out and put their coats on the ground, and Jesus just let them. Now, Jesus, if you look throughout the Bible, Jesus is not kind of the celebrating kind of guy. He doesn't kind of jump around and rah-rah. In fact, Jesus is pretty serious most of the time. I can only think of maybe three examples of him kind of outwardly celebrating. If you look back to John chapter 2, remember the wedding when they run out of wine and his mother said, "Do something, they're running out of wine." And Jesus kind of shies away and says, "I don't want all the attention, it's not my time." The only time I remember him really celebrating is when Zacchaeus climbs a tree, climbs down, runs after him, and welcomes Jesus and celebrates. And Jesus says, "Okay, I'm going to your house today, and we're going to celebrate." Then there's a story of the prodigal son, which is a story, really. We don't know if it happened. But the son goes and splurges and spends everything and comes back and apologizes, and the father celebrates spontaneously. Or how about the wedding feast, again, which is another story where people are invited to the wedding, but people don't show up, so they open it up to the outcasts and the poor and outsiders in their celebration. But other than that, Jesus is not the kind of celebration person. Can you remember any time that he draws attention to himself and says, "Let's party"? Jesus is not that way. He is healing, he is teaching, he is telling riddles. Not really the kind of celebration kind of guy, is he? The celebration that we see is there Palm Sunday. He lets the celebration go on, and he welcomes it. It's the only time that I could really say, now he still is not really verbally celebrating himself, but he lets everybody else celebrate. What is Palm Sunday teaching us, and what does it tell us? Palm Sunday, there was celebration more so than the resurrection. If you look in the scriptures, when the women at the tomb discovered that Jesus was resurrected, they were excited, they were ecstatic, and they went and told people. But the disciples, when they found out that he was resurrected, they were hiding. They were afraid. They were fearful. They weren't celebrating. They were afraid they were going to be persecuted. And when Jesus resurrected, he didn't say, "Okay, I'm resurrected, come on down, let's have a party now." Kind of subdued. The celebration happened at Palm Sunday. And so what Palm Sunday teaches us is that there is celebration before his arrest. There is celebration before his persecution. There is celebration before his crucifixion and resurrection. All of the celebrating happens beforehand. Now that seems kind of odd or surprising. In other words, before all the hardships, all the torment and anguish and suffering comes, the celebration is before that, not after. Why is that? Why does Scripture really lift that up? It's kind of in reverse. Shouldn't he be celebrating afterwards and not before? I guess that's the message of Palm Sunday, because it is in anticipation of what's going to happen afterwards. He sees that there will be suffering, there will be a hard road, the cup of suffering, there will be he will be mocked, spit at, thorns in his head, piercing in his side, nails on his hands, and still he can celebrate before all of that. I don't know what you all are going through, the problems, the burdens, the issues. The message of Palm Sunday is celebrate anyway. Celebrate in advance. Why? Because we know that in the end, that God promises us that there will be life everlasting. There will be abundant living. There will be life in God's kingdom with God's people. And so we celebrate because we know even though the road is hard, we're going to get through it. What Palm Sunday teaches us is that we can celebrate beforehand in anticipation of the kingdom, which is down the road. And as we get through the valley of the shadow of death or whatever it is, we can still celebrate. I don't know how to celebrate that much, actually. I'm a pretty mellow guy, and my wife knows how to really celebrate. She is planning their batch reunion, and Filipino style, when the batches get together, they really celebrate. I learned this church knows how to celebrate. I got my first baptism of that when I went to a Legazpi party. They know how to celebrate. Even though life is hard, life is a bear, they still celebrate. Why? Because there is joy, there is God's grace and mercy, and not to take life for granted, to celebrate. And so we celebrate on Palm Sunday, even though we see that the road is rough ahead. We know even beyond that, there is hope, there is good news, there is glory, and there's God's grace. Let's not be afraid to celebrate, and let us not be afraid to celebrate what Jesus has done. Amen.